Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars, until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free, no strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
It's Wednesday, January 20th, 2020. I'm Beckler. Today is the inauguration day of Joe Biden, although we didn't really talk a whole lot about that on the show today. Shauna wasn't here. She wasn't feeling good at the end of yesterday's show. And with COVID and everything, our workplace now takes it very seriously if you have any symptoms. As you know, I worked from home a few times. So our boss said to Shauna, you're best probably to just stay home, rest today, and see if you feel better for tomorrow. So I haven't heard from her yet. Don't know if her sleep helped or not, but we'll see if she's back here tomorrow.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Oh, I forgot to tell you this story. I was snowboarding at Sunshine a while back, and somehow they have some indoor dining there. And I don't know how they're getting around that. Maybe it's because you pick up your food in one place, and then you have to take it to another part of the building to eat it. But there, you can sit down and have a meal and a beer at Sunshine Village on the ski hill. And they're taking the rules like incredibly seriously there. Holy crap. So when you enter this place, this restaurant, the girl running the door was making sure that everybody sanitized and changed their masks out. And then while I was sitting there eating my meal, I heard this commotion. And a woman is coming up the stairs and she's like, I did. And she's getting chased by the girl from the front door who's like, you have to sanitize. And she said, I did. And then the guy who was running sort of the eating area, he was intense. He comes over. He's like, you got a problem with this? And she's like, I did sanitize. And I was like, holy crap, this is getting wild. So I finish up my meal and I just want to use the bathroom before I go back out into the ski hill. But they got it roped off because they're cleaning it. So I'm just sitting there waiting and keep looking over to see if they finished cleaning it. And this guy, the guy who wanted to know if that woman had a problem, he comes over and he's like, you're looking around a lot. Are you okay? And I was like, just waiting for the bathroom, man. I was like, I'm not the health inspector or anything. And then I thought about it. And if you've been to Sunshine Village, you can only access the village area, the lodges and stuff, by gondola. So they must have quite a bit of warning when the health inspector does show up. I mean, all you'd have to do is have the people who are running the gondola radio up and say, hey, it's AHS, the health inspector, like, look alive. So I asked this guy, and I said, do you get inspected up here? And like, you must have quite a bit of warning. And he said, usually we do, but sometimes the health inspectors will try to disguise themselves a bit. Like, they'll hide their clipboards, they'll try to dress like a skier, which is super funny to think about being a health inspector and putting on ski gear and ski boots just to go up the gondola to inspect these places. And I wonder how far they take it. Like, I would go all the way. I'd pretend to be a German tourist who is like, oh, the conditions are wonderful today. Freeze! Rip off your fake mustache. AHS!
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Later on the show, I want to talk a little bit more about this controversy surrounding the coal leases and the coal development policy, but I just wanted to mention this real quick first. Earlier this week, when that news came out and the public outcry that followed it, news outlets around here were reporting on a few petitions, online petitions, that have garnered over 100,000 signatures. And this was being touted as evidence that Albertans are furious with our provincial government, which may be true for many people. I think there are many people in this province who are furious with the Jason Kenney government. But when will we start to acknowledge that an online petition means nothing? It means less than nothing. It means nothing at all. A petition in the internet age is useless. You might as well not even mention it. Certainly a news outlet shouldn't be mentioning it, because we don't know if those people who signed it are even from the area. They could be from anywhere in the world, and they very likely are. What happens is a petition like that gets shared in these activist circles, environmentalist groups, and it can rack up a lot of votes really quickly, because it takes 2 seconds for somebody to pop over there and say, I don't like coal. Here's my name. Meanwhile, they live in wherever, Switzerland. Doesn't matter. I think about these petitions that you see sometimes, and it's just like, how are we still taking these seriously? I mean, we've kind of seen it, this sort of thing happen on this show, where we'll say something and it'll get shared in a group and people are furious about it. And those people don't listen to the station, probably don't even live in the province. They're just like-minded people who want to be angry about the same thing. So unless it's signatures collected door to door, like if an activist group here went door to door and collected 100,000 signatures from people in the province who were opposed to this, then I'd take that seriously. But you can get the internet to cast millions of votes to name a ship Bodie McBoatface. So these online petitions are completely useless.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Remember Mike Babcock? Mike Babcock? He's back. He's Mike Babcock. I haven't heard much about Mike Babcock since the end of 2019, if you'll remember. Some of his former players accused him of verbally abusing them. Johan Franzen called him the worst person he's ever met. Based on Babcock's treatment of Franzen when they played in Detroit. And that was corroborated by Chris Chelios. Other players like Mike Commodore and Mitch Marner shared their negative experiences with Babcock. And it ultimately led to him being fired as head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. But now, over a year later, Babcock sat down for an interview with the hockey writer Pierre LeBrun. And that appeared in The Athletic this week. Now, of course, like the Twitter mob will never quench their thirst for blood. But many people are pointing out that if you read the article, Babcock doesn't sound at all sorry. Instead, he talks about how hurt he was that former players spoke about him that way. If you have access to The Athletic, you can read that article and decide for yourself. But I would just, you know, remind people that Babcock doesn't need to respond to us or to the people on Twitter, to hockey Twitter. He needs to make good with the players who allege mistreatment. The one thing I do find interesting, though, is that some people think this is the PR machine spinning up to try to rehabilitate Mike Babcock's image before he, I don't know, gets back into hockey in some capacity as a coach. I'm not sure, as a broadcaster. You know, I think he should join fellow canceled hockey icon Don Cherry.
Mike Babcock, the beauty, what happened to you?
Well, you know, Mike Babcock got fired. I guess you can't scream at the players anymore or something. I don't know.
That's ridiculous. The whole game's gone soft, you bunch of pansies. So what have you been up to?
Well, just spending lots of time at the cottage, trying not to think about it, talking like Yogi Bear, you know, having picnics out on the boat.
I tell you, that's what's wrong with the Leafs, getting rid of a good Canadian kid like Mike Babcock out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Look at the hair on this guy, 57 years old. Support the troops. Let's go.
Mike Babcock.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Have you heard this? The claim, sitting is the new smoking? This idea that spending too much of the day sitting is as dangerous to your health as smoking cigarettes. This is why Terry smokes all his darts standing up. It's not true, though. I mean, it's true that sitting for more than 8 hours per day can increase your risk of premature death or some chronic diseases by 10 to 20%. It's not great to sit all day. You're far better to be moving. But smoking is still so much worse for you. Depending on the sources you look at, smoking increases your risk of premature death from any cause by 180%, give or take. The study I read also points out that unlike smoking, sitting is neither harmful to others nor addictive, which is true. No one's pressuring your kid to sit down, right? Come on, man, take a seat. All the cool kids are doing it. No way, man. Chairs are for squares. On that note, I think a lot of the anti-smoking, anti-drug messaging we received growing up was inaccurate. You know the one where the kid's getting pressured to try drugs by all of his friends? Just do it, man. I don't know about you, but my experience growing up wasn't like that at all. People didn't force drugs on you. If you were at a party and there was a marijuana cigarette going around, and someone was like, hey, you want this? And you said, no, I'm good. That was the end of it. They weren't like, come on, man. All the cool kids are doing it. They were like, all right, he doesn't smoke. More for us, I guess.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Like I imagine you have, I've been thinking a lot about this coal development policy controversy this week, especially after the provincial government announced the cancellation of 11 new coal leases and a pause on more going forward. But many Albertans feel that's not nearly enough. I've been hearing a real smorgasbord of concerns coming from those people. And I think if we want to keep this conversation clear, then it's important to nail down specifically what we have an issue with. Is it the lack of transparency, the lack of public consultation? Because that's what has some of these Southern Alberta ranchers and First Nations groups taking the provincial government to court over. But then I got some messages this past week from who said people in the area, people in that industry have known about these plans for a while, for at least a year and a half. I don't remember hearing about it, but I mean, that's probably as much my failure as anyone's. We kind of have a responsibility to stay informed on this stuff and to sound the alarm if it's something that we think you'd want to know about. Are we concerned about pollution of waterways in that area? Because again, I got a message from a friend of the show who's an engineer who works on some of these coal projects. And he said it's totally possible to keep the water clean, but it's expensive. So then it becomes a question of how much faith you have in regulation and inspection in this province. I think for many people, it's just the extraction of coal in general that they have an issue with and its contributions to climate change. I mean, coal isn't exactly the popular girl in school right now, is it? But as many of us have learned this week, myself included, this is not thermal coal used in the production of electricity. This is metallurgical coal or coking coal. It's for steel production. And we want buildings and airplanes and overpasses and water pipes and everything, all of which require steel. Most steel requires coking coal, and we are the world's fourth largest exporter of coking coal. So there's probably a conversation to be had about what Alberta's role in that is. And finally, this is the one I really want to focus on, is it the destruction of the mountain environment? This is going to be an unpopular opinion, but there's this idea that has always kind of bothered me, maybe because I'm a prairie kid, that the mountains are more worth protecting than other environments because they're more scenic, because we like to hunt and fish and ski out there, because they look good on Instagram. I don't know. Here's a line from an article I read on this topic. It said, "Hunters, anglers, hikers, and naturalists think of it not as coal country, but as God's country." Now, if you listen to this show, you've probably heard me call every place God's country. I'll say, "Where are you from?" And they say, "Hannah." And I say, "That's God's country." It's half a joke and half not. Like, it's all God's country. It's all beautiful to someone. We're a race of consumers, right? We cut down forests, we dam rivers, we flood valleys, we tear up natural grasslands to plant crops, but then we put our foot down when it comes to the mountains. Obviously, none of those things are ideal, and an honest environmentalist would say that they support the protection of all those ecosystems. But I don't differentiate between an acre of prairie, an acre of boreal forest, or an acre of mountainside. And I think if you're going to win this thing, you have to think like these people. They don't see your favorite hiking spot on top of a mountain. They see profit. So you have to come armed with the strongest possible arguments. And the mountains are pretty, well, true, isn't the strongest possible argument.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Got a message from friend of the show, Blair, who said, "Environmental concerns aside, coal mining is a pretty core part of the economy, as you said. While we should absolutely push for more diverse ways to earn money as a province, people need work. The government needs money to keep supporting those that are still put out of work." And I said to Blair, I ran out of time to talk about this on the air, but coal mining in Alberta, in terms of the royalties that the province collects, is not a lucrative business. Last year, I think we made about $10 million in royalties combined between bituminous and sub-bituminous coal production. The year before that was just over $10 million. And years prior to that, I think we've been up around $20 million, $25 million at the highest. But that is, I mean, it's a lot of money, obviously, but not in the grand scheme of the provincial royalties that we collect and resources. Like, I think the province collects around $5 billion in royalties on resources, between five and six. So this is just like a drop in the bucket compared to the rest of the natural resources that Alberta profits off of. Now, of course, there is the argument to be made that for people in those areas, they could use those jobs. And that's very true. I mean, if you think about some of these coal towns that are dying around the world, should coal production be extended to extend the life of those coal towns? I don't know. That's a tough one because, again, we're not talking about coal used to generate electricity here. We're talking about coal used in steel production, which is very important all across the world. And I believe demand for steel just continues to grow. Apparently, most of the coal that we mine here, the metallurgical coal, goes to China to be made into coking and then eventually for steel production because, you know, that country's appetite for materials is kind of unbelievable. But any town that's built around resources that are a finite resource like that, whether it be, you know, Sparwood or Elkford or any of these towns in the eastern part of BC in the Crow's Nest Pass area, like, you kind of do have a shelf life in terms of how long your town is going to be around, unless you find a way to pivot away and to make money some other way. I also get that for a coal miner or someone involved in these projects in that area who might be out of work, then it's more immediate than that, and nothing matters more than getting your next paycheck, putting food on your table, and supporting your family. I completely understand that. So that's why I think that there's probably a longer conversation to be had about Alberta's role in providing metallurgical coal to the rest of the world. And actually, I just glanced over an article about a new type of steel plant that opened in Sweden back in September that doesn't use coal in the production of its steel. So maybe one day we will free ourselves of the need to mine this stuff, but right now we need coal to do it. And many of the people who use these products, and I would assume that would be pretty much everyone who uses steel products in some form or another, don't want our province to be a part of the production process.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Credit cards, line of credit, car loans, personal loans. We all have debt, and House of Cars wants to wipe it away. Now until January 15th, enter to win the Wipe Your Debt contest at houseofcarscalgary.com. House of Cars, Alberta's top choice dealer 5 years in a row. Often imitated, never duplicated.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I'm watching that show Yellowstone on Amazon Prime right now with Kevin Costner about the ranch, the big ranch in Montana. And but this isn't a spoiler, but part of the first season revolves around the branding of these cowboys, like with an actual hot brand where they get the ranch's logo branded onto their chest. And much like the mafia, if a cowboy is branded, then he's considered kind of a made man. He's like family on this ranch. As far as body modification goes, I don't have a lot of interest in branding. It seems pretty rough. Seems like it would be awful. And I know historically humans have been branded prisoners, slaves, but there are lots of people who do it voluntarily. And I was wondering if it's even legal around here, like if you can go and get professionally branded anywhere. And a quick Google search didn't turn up anything, so I'm not sure. But occasionally you'll see pro athletes with the Greek letter Omega branded on their arm or on their shoulder. And that's one of the symbols of the historically black fraternity Omega Psi Phi. And I was reading there are a few other frats who do this too. And how they do it is pretty rough. Like some will apply ice to the area before a member gets branded. Others, they like slap or punch the area until it goes numb. And that's considered like slapping it numb. And then the guy gets branded. I'm like, this is as bro gets, isn't it? A bunch of guys like roughing a guy up to get branded. Wow. I once watched a YouTube video, which I now wish I hadn't. It was this super drunk dude letting his equally drunk buddy brand him with a hot iron. And I guess there's a right and wrong way to do this. These guys did not do it the right way. But the guy with the brand pushed way too hard, and instantly the other guy like went into convulsions. And it was incredibly disturbing to watch. That's why I wish I hadn't watched it. But people in the comments were saying, like, that guy will have a very long and painful recovery. He may never be able to use those muscles properly again. That's pretty sad. When I was young and drunk and really stupid, I put a cigar out on my arm one time to prove my toughness, I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I was really stupid. I still have a small scar from it on my wrist, though. And I mean, it doesn't even look cool. Like the one from Beverly Hills Ninja, you know, in the opening scene where Chris Farley spills that cauldron of boiling water when they're trying to brand the inside of their arms. At the Taka Guru Dojo, you know what I'm talking about.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I got a message from a friend of the show who thought we should hear this song. And this is, it's by a guy from, I think he's from New Brunswick, and he makes comedy music under the name Waylon Napadogan. I'm pretty sure that's not his real name. And when I got clicking around in this guy's YouTube channel, I was like, I think Shauna and I have played a clip of one of his songs before, this one.
Baby, you could have my heart. Baby, you could bum my last arm.
Dear Romance. So this song that this friend sent me, it's about the beer Alpine, which is made by Moosehead, and I guess it's popular on the East Coast. And they come in like camo cans sometimes, like camouflage cans. So that's what the song is about. But there's one line in particular that this friend thought that we should all hear.
Well, I was drinking Alpines before I was getting acne. I was drinking drinking at Pines back when Drake was at the Grassy. And everybody knows that an Alpine tastes the best when it's from a can that looks like my Uncle Terry's hunting vest.
There it is.
Off the camo, off the camo cans rule. I can barely even see them. Pretty of blue.
Uncle Terry's hunting vest. So I think that qualifies Waylon Napadogan as a nominee for Terry of the Month this month.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I wanted to read this little piece of optimism for you regarding the vaccine. This is something that I read on my Facebook page this week, because maybe you heard the news that there's been a disruption in the manufacturing at this plant that Pfizer runs in Belgium. And as a result, Canada won't be getting any Pfizer vaccines next week at all. And Major General Danny Fortin, who's overseeing the rollout of the vaccine across the country, he said that the impact of the provinces could be a 50% reduction in vaccine allocation over the next month. And as a result, Alberta Health Services has had to cancel appointments for people who are awaiting their first dose, which includes, I believe, healthcare workers and maybe some long-term care residents or seniors. I know that the province had said that they had already done the first round of vaccines in all long-term care homes in Alberta, but there's something about how the different homes are designated, because some seniors in those homes have not received their first dose. So I think maybe the premier, when he said that, meant that it was all these ones under one designation. I don't know. That's kind of above my understanding of the situation. But all I know is that the province now wants to focus on getting the second dose into the arms of people who have got the first dose within the allowable window so that it's most effective. So that's disappointing news for healthcare workers or seniors who were waiting for their first dose and thought that it was coming right away. It looks like it's going to be delayed a little bit. But this is something that a friend of mine wrote. He's a doctor, not here in Calgary, but it's still very relevant. And I just wanted to share this with you. He said, "This morning, myself, along with other healthcare colleagues, had the opportunity to attend a personal care home. There, we administered the Pfizer vaccine to many of the residents and staff. Days have felt very routine over the past few months, but today was so rewarding. You could feel the energy in the air. We are one step closer to normalcy, and we have some real hope to fight against the fear and fatigue of this pandemic. Praying for a better 2021 for all." So that's from a doctor friend of mine who had the opportunity to give some doses of vaccine in a care home. And I thought that was so cool, because I imagine, yes, for the people who are like right in the involved in COVID, whether you're in a long-term care home or if you're a healthcare worker, how important that vaccine is to you. For myself, you know, I've never been super concerned about myself during the pandemic. I'm pretty low risk, young, healthy guy. But my fear was always passing it along to somebody who was more vulnerable. So when my turn for the vaccine comes up, that'll be great. I'll go get it. But I don't think that I think for many people there, this is a huge, huge deal to get this vaccine. So a disruption like this is obviously not ideal. And I just wanted to read that for you, because that just, I think, goes to show how important these vaccines are to the people who need them most.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
On the tech news yesterday, they were talking about this new product called a Mood Beam. Mood Beam. And it's a wristband that employees can wear, which allows their bosses to track their emotional state while working from home. So it's this white wristband. Imagine like a Fitbit. And it has two buttons on it. A blue one for happy and a yellow one for sad. And then your boss has access to this dashboard that shows all the data of how the employees are feeling as they cope with the stresses of the pandemic and working from home. And I mean, on one hand, I think, okay, this could be mutually beneficial, because employers, they want to know what morale is like amongst their staff. And employees could use it as a gateway to let their bosses know if they're unhappy. And I do think that there are some real mental health concerns that have come with, you know, the disruptions to the workplace during the pandemic. But on the other hand, like, happy and sad buttons, I mean, we're adults, right? We're professionals. Are you happy face or sad face? I'm sad face. Oh no. Would you like a juice box? That's what it feels like to me. And also, I can see some problems with it too. Like, the button needs to be pushed by the employee. It's not constantly tracking your emotional state. It's not like those mood rings in the 90s, but like a high-tech version of that. So employees are only going to push it in response to something, right? Like, this is assuming that it reports in real time rather than, you know, your boss getting a report at the end of the day or the end of the week or whatever. So if your boss says, like, hey, I need you to do this for me. Nope. Don't like that. No, I'm sad. I'm going to push the button. Is that how it's going to work? Or during a meeting, you're just hammering the sad button. I'm so sad right now. Maybe we don't need that much data is what I'm saying. Maybe we could just have conversations about this. I've actually thought about that in response or in relation to this job, because in radio, we live and die by our ratings with sample audience, right? And I was thinking, what if there was a big screen in the studio in front of me here that showed real-time ratings, that I could see people tuning in or worse, tuning out if they don't like what I'm talking about? I would die. That would be the worst. That would be worse for my emotional state, I think. So maybe there's some benefits to this technology, but it feels like it needs to be a little more complex than a happy face and sad face sticker.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I'm turning 32 next week and, you know, trying my best to stay hip and with it, but gets a little tougher every year. Especially, I spend a lot of time, of course, online just by the nature of this job. And the way people talk online is where I really start to feel like I'm getting left behind. Here's a post that a Instagram friend of mine made yesterday. And I'm just going to read this for you word to word, or to you word for word, and see how long it takes you to figure out what they're saying here, okay? Stay low key, then pop out. Have them like, since when? That's all it says. Just like that. Just like I read it. I'll give it to you again. Stay low-key, then pop out. Have them like, since when? I'm putting that inflection on. I obviously can't tell. But if we break it down here, so stay low-key, then pop out. Meaning, like, don't be real big and flashy. Just kind of, like, fly under the radar. And then, when you've made it, that's when you make your grand debut. And people will be like, wow, what happened to that person? When did they become successful? Which I don't think is bad advice, but when you write it like stay low key, then pop out, have them like since when? Huh?
You've been listening to the VNS in 20 minutes or less podcast
for House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free, no strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have VNS in 20 minutes or less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.